Let's go for it. Boom! See that?
I did. That was great.
It's a fucking new starting. Just boom!
Boom!
Slap your bitch up! Boom! I wonder how that song got, like, just not fucking up in trouble.
Because it was about drugs.
It's just pick and choose, though. You know what I mean? Slap your bitch up! And they go, no! And
then he was a psychosomatic addict insane, so it was okay.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. Man, hey, how are you guys? It's Dean Del Rey, Christian Spicer, another episode of Bitchin', and you can call us at 323-282-7424, taking calls today, anything you want to talk about. My first topic today, saw the Amy Winehouse movie on Sunday.
Yeah.
Fucking phenomenal. Amy Winehouse, if you don't know who that is, you must have been living under a fucking rock. But about 6 years ago, she won 6 Grammys.
Yeah.
And I loved the record when it came out. And it's still a record I like. It wasn't one of those ones that was just everywhere and I was like, oh, enough of this. Because it had enough singles in it that made it fantastic. And also, as I watched the film, they have footage of her all the way from like 6 years old. So they were filming her. She had this early on manager who was like 19. He was hip, said this girl's good, and started a manager. They got a record deal, and it's amazing to watch her showcase, because as I watched it, she went into Island Records with an acoustic guitar and just balls. Was like, I write my own songs. Fuck you. You know, that thing. Which right away is like worship. She writes her own songs.
Yeah.
Old school. Then she sings, no auto-tune, nothing. It's her. So there she is, Island President's like, all right, let's hear what you got. And she starts strumming this acoustic very, very, like, I don't know, like, raw.
Sure, okay.
Really raw. She's like, the song's about bad love. And she's just like, why? Like, killing it. And as I watched her at that moment, I realized this woman is like Jeff Buckley. Like in my way of like, if you played music like I did for years, there's structures and standard melodies that you use when you're playing music.
Right.
Which is a verse would be like, da na na da, da 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 da, da na. You follow patterns and then the chorus, da na 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 na, you know?
Right, yeah.
This chick, a lot like Jeff Buckley, these melodies, she didn't have any rules of like, well, this line or word won't fit in the melody.
Okay.
She just made her own melodies. And it, when you see somebody like that outside the box, you go, holy shit, I don't know how you think like that. Because you're taught Beatles structure or standard songwriting structure. So she's blowing my mind, you know, and there's this scene where they're, she's writing back in Back to Black in the studio. Mark Ronson, like, all right, let's hear what you got. And she's like, it goes like this, and it kind of, and she's writing this masterpiece song with like it's nothing.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, fuck, man. So original. So hats off. Go see this film, even if you're not into her music. It's an awesome peek at watching art be done.
Well, that's the thing about genius is that it's often misunderstood.
Yep.
They often live a difficult life. And then it's not until years later that people are able to look back objectively at the genius. And Amy had a troubled personal life and a troubled life in the press and with PR. And then some of her hits were overplayed. So she got that popularity backlash where, oh, it's not good. I mean, Adele went through that.
Right.
Oh, it sucks. And then, you know, similarly, whatever you think about his personal life. But Michael Jackson, when This Is It came out and some of those things, you know, they got looser with what was released. You go back and listen to some of that stuff. He couldn't play an instrument.
Yeah.
But he would do it all vocally, and he would sit down and talk to, you know, George
Quincy
or whoever.
Jones.
Or just anyone and be like, I want you to play the guitar like this. And he would do it perfect pitch and just the way people that you said, like, break the rules. I feel like more often than not, that's the genius. It's the savior we didn't know we needed.
Yeah.
Until someone hits you with it. And certainly now the Beatles are the formula, but they were rule breakers
absolutely
themselves when
absolutely
they came up.
Absolutely. What I'm saying is most 99.9 songs are a structure, and that's really even rock and roll. You can call it pop or whatever, but it usually goes verse, chorus, a bridge, chorus. You know,
yeah.
Usually that's the formula of writing tunes.
And now that's the tune sometimes itself, where take them to the bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're saying what they're exactly. doing. Hit them with that chorus.
And recently, country, this is how ADD America's getting country music. They've ditched the pre-chorus. So you'd go verse, pre-chorus, chorus. Pre-chorus meaning like, you know, it's the build right before the big chorus. They've just got rid of that now. Now it just goes like, left my woman, she left me good for the neighbor. Look out for the country. Here comes the country.
It's a short attention span.
Yeah,
I
man,
mean, I think
it's weird.
Soon it's going to be just bridge, just, chorus, bridge, chorus.
Soon it's and just chorus. Yeah. It's just an intro guitar like, then pour some sugar on me. That's yeah. all it is, man.
That's probably how people listen on Spotify now anyway. Or, you know, you're just like, skip, create your playlist.
It's almost like those early commercials when I was growing up. K-Tel hits. You get all the hits. Def Leppard, pull some shoes. AC/DC, Back in Black, hit the sag. You know, Grateful Dead, trucking.
Everything's a jingle. That's
yeah,
all that's
yeah.
left.
It's just all the candy. That's yeah. all the people want, the candy, the sweet stuff, man. It's funny because, you know, to me, I like the saga of songs. And when you look at how she wrote these songs, they're all, so the when she first started writing songs, they said, do you write songs? She goes, nah, I don't really write songs. I write poems, you know? And basically these songs are her poems. So she didn't even scratch lines out. She uses every line in it, and it's exactly what's going on in her life. Like when she meets this dirtbag Blake, the boyfriend, fucking crackhead drug addict, every song on Back to Black is about him, you know, and they're all from her diary. You know, it's just rad.
Do you think it's too soon to have this documentary, or do you think the time's right?
No,
is the public willing to accept?
I think it's perfect timing because actually she was a little bit out of my mind now.
Sure.
You know, it's you look at it. It's I think it's 09 or something around there. That seems lifetimes ago. I mean, even Adele's 10 record
yeah.
seems a long time ago already now, you know, 10 or whatever it was, 10 or 15, whatever it's called.
Yeah, her 18, the big hit. 19 and 21.
Yeah, okay, there's because their new one's 25, I think, coming out. But now it looks like it's going to be late, so it's going to be 26. But that shit seems a long time in popular art world, you know, pop art world. It's like, oh yeah, remember that? It's really weird because I clown people a lot for like they just lost interest on Kings of Leon one day, you know, and I was like, well, how do you just lose interest on a band you love? And then I realized I have recently done that myself. I was writing down Sunset in front of Amoeba, and they got the big billboards up there, and there it was, My Morning Jacket's new record. I know it's been out for 3 months.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands, and just no real interest.
Yeah.
It's really weird, and I don't know why that is, because I love the band. I've seen them live many times, but I think maybe you just move on some sounds, like, oh yeah, I was into that. I don't know what it is, but I've recently, so I always talk about people, why do you do that? And then I've recently done it.
Well, I mean, it goes bigger than that too. I mean, that's a great personal example. And then there are also those where, as a culture, we all turn. I mean, when I was in, I guess, elementary school, and Vanilla Ice, everyone loved Vanilla Ice. And then it was just, we woke up one day and decided, we hate Vanilla Ice. I mean, it was just this weird, and Michael Jackson went through that also, and yeah. part of that was maybe his yeah. you know, public image, but it's like, Michael Jackson is the best ever, Thriller is an amazing record, this is incredible, and all of a sudden it was like, History, or I guess even before that, Dangerous came out, it's like, oh, look at this joke.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's just so weird when people ride those waves. And I think personally it happens because I don't know if you move off of one band, but you move into another. And
yeah.
so it just kind of, you still love it, but now you're chasing this new thing and you're like, yeah. deep diving on Mumford and Sons or whatever it
is. Yeah, you're right. Like right now, I'm fucking 24/7 Grateful Dead. For the last 8 fucking days, I have not listened to. A matter of fact, it's so
it's
weird.
It's the same song, actually, for 8 days.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they got an 8-day long song. I'm sure they do. But, you know, like, I put on something else, and then I'm like, ugh, too abrasive. Got to get back into this feel-good stuff. Right. And it's really bizarre, because with the Dead, there's like 90 fucking records, you know, on iTunes. Which, by the way, I wanted to talk about this. I just signed up for the iTunes streaming.
Apple Music.
Now, let's talk about this, because it is a big day in my life yesterday as I signed up. I never liked Spotify.
Okay.
I didn't like any of those streaming things because they just didn't have all the stuff. You know, they would have parts of music, and I didn't like the format on the phone and stuff.
Sure.
Like, some people had the cheap one with the commercials, and it would just eat me alive. Like, have you had the mac and cheese at Olive Garden? You're
yeah.
Like, eh.
Yeah.
So my whole goal right now is only vinyl at the house. So I've got over 2,000 CDs. I'm slowly getting rid of them. I want to get rid of everything in my house.
Okay.
Just have this fucking nice, clean house of a desk, vinyl, some turntables, hi-fi, some books.
Okay.
Just as hippie as that fucking sounds. But I just love that thing. They say cluttered house, cluttered mind.
Yep.
I love that feeling of get rid of everything in here. What if I just had my favorite jackets,
there's
shoes and vinyl.
Oh, I don't know the name. It's a New York Times bestseller, so I'm not bringing anything, you know, I'm not going to blow anyone's mind. But I think it's like the Japanese way or something like that. This one wrote a book about it, and it's kind of going through things. And it's like, does this, you look at this thing, this is my business card. You look at this thing and you're like, does this give me joy?
Yeah.
No? Get it out of there.
Well,
like,
I used to do this
it?
Thing once a year at my house. Have I not looked or touched this item in 6 months? I've called it out of here.
I got rid of my penis for the same reason.
Your penis?
After
yeah.
I got married. I was like, have I not?
Well, yeah, I don't know, man. Somebody else is using it because you got 2 kids. Someone, you threw your dick away and then your lady grabbed it as a strap on.
This is getting used.
The book is called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing.
That's
there it,
it.
Is. That's thank it. You, sir.
And I really believe in it. And I was with Mark Maron yesterday, and he was decluttering his house. And he was like, we sat and talked, and we were like, isn't it amazing? And I talked to Spicer about this once a year. Like, I'm going 2 pairs of shoes,
yep.
2 jackets, and 2 shirts. Now, I really have broke it down to 2 pairs of jeans, which is awesome. I've got 2 pairs of incredible jeans. I wear them every fucking day.
Both
pairs at the same time. And then I've got shoes are a demon for me. I recognize it. But if there are only a few demons, like vinyl, jackets, and
heroin.
And shoes. Yeah, heroin. I get it. But my thing is, I love Dwell Magazine. I love Ultra Modern. I love, Frank Lloyd Wright. I love Case Study Houses, all that stuff where everything is clean.
Yep.
You know, I love the thought of living in an Airstream on a big piece of property with nothing around.
So how does Apple Music fit into this?
So this is how it fits in. I don't want all these CDs in my house. And if you're buying CDs out there, I'm going to tell you right now, I was the guy who went, fuck iTunes. I want the hard copy.
Yeah.
So always I know I've got a physical copy. So if anything happens to this CD, the iTunes, I have the CD.
Yeah.
That was my thought. And I'm 49. And that's still my thought of like, I want this in my hand. But now I'm on this other thing. And if you have been listening to the show, there will be no CD players in a year.
That's the thing. You'll have this thing, but nothing to play it on.
Nothing to play it on. And let me tell you, if you're buying a CD right now, you're out of your mind. You either buy vinyl or buy a digital track, because sure, there'll be some players. They'll be here and there. They won't be good players. There'll be some shitty thing at Best Buy in the corner for $90. And you're going to have to buy one once a year to play those damn things. And who knows, maybe it comes back like vinyl has now, and we go, oh, we bought
a clean digital.
I'm just saying, you know. But my point is, no computers now have CD drives in them. I just bought a got a new computer finally, an Air. There's no fucking disk drive in there. You can buy an external one for $30 at Best Buy, but now I'm carrying that around. What for?
But are you okay renting your music? Like, I love streaming. I've been a fan of it. I've done Spotify. Apple Music, I think, does a lot right. Their interface is clean, but convoluted, if that makes sense. It looks pretty, but knowing where everything is,
it's a little clunky right now.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's clunky. My point is, I'm going to own all my favorite music on vinyl.
Okay.
But I travel every day.
Right.
I can't bring the vinyl with me, and I don't want to load up my, I have to buy the 128 gig iPhone 6 Plus because I have so much music.
Yeah.
And I was always a fan of like, all right, I go on the road. Let's just take 5 records and really explore those while I'm on the road and not have anything else and be all ADD. But this right now, what I love about this streaming is sometimes I'll be sitting around and go, you know what? I want to hear some fucking Merciful Fate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on this streaming, it's $9.95. You get any song in the iTunes library.
30 million tracks
which
currently.
Which is fucking everything.
Almost everything.
Almost everything. I popped in Saxon, which I'm a big fan of this
no
band
Prince.
Saxon. No Prince.
Prince is pulling from all digital, all streaming. Well, so there's always be omissions,
But yeah. I mean, AC/DC recently joined on last week. So
I showed you that video of Estelle rocking out to it.
Exactly.
She loved AC/DC.
It's great, right? Streaming. See? Yeah. Early rocker. But my point is, I'm on a plane, I'm talking to someone in a state. A lot of times when you talk to people, they trigger something in your mind. Like I was talking to Sean Patton, we talked Jerky Boys, and I was like, oh, I haven't heard that in forever. I fire up Jerky Boys, you know? That kind of thing is a thing I love about music. Or you're somewhere and you go, you know what, man, Counting Crows, August and everything else, I want to hear that right now. I'm in that kind of mood. Everything in my phone without taking up memory.
Right.
So I enjoy this unlimited amount. And I'm not ranting them or anything because a lot of this stuff I wouldn't want to own. They're like things I want to hear twice a year.
Right.
I'm in that kind of mood. I want to hear fucking, you know, Blues Traveler. You know, one time today. There it is.
So when you fly, be sure to download the playlist. Make it listenable offline.
Yeah. Now, how do you do that? I saw that. Do you have to download it?
Temporary? It will download it. Then as soon as you uncheck the option, it will free up the space again. We can go through it. That's where the Apple Music is a little cluttered. You have to like tap the ellipsis, open up an option, and then dive in, and then say make available for offline listening. I love it. I'm a big fan of streaming music. It is interesting. You know, we had talked about before, your 1,000 fans, shirts or merch or whatever. And with streaming music, it's interesting because the payment thing. I mean, that was Taylor Swift's big holdout is for Apple Music. They're giving everyone 3 months free.
And they weren't getting royalties.
They weren't going to pay artists anything. And Taylor Swift said, nope, not with my music, you're not.
Yeah.
And now they're paying a little bit and still, so like my album, I have a comedy album out, Moment in Time, if you don't know. And it's
on iTunes.
It's on iTunes and people have been streaming it or before iTunes matching it, which is, you know, what they had before, where if you didn't have the physical thing with you, you could pull it from the cloud.
Right.
And so I see payments come in from that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not much.
Yeah, yeah.
And for a comedy album especially, I think very rarely are people going to go, you know what I want to listen to? I'm trying to think of a name of a comedy album. It doesn't matter. You know, I want to listen
to... Delirious.
Yeah, Delirious. I want to listen to Delirious. And then, but that's not like Back in Black, where I want to hear it every day.
Right.
So it's interesting for some things, for all artists in general, the payment structure of an album, which I guess was never much before when you went through a label and they got an advance, whatever.
Yep.
But we're in this new world where everyone's trying to figure out how it works. So how are you, as a rocker, comfortable then, you know, as in the music and so much into the scene with the payment structure for streaming stuff? Does it bother you one way or the other, or are you kind of like, they weren't getting my money before anyway?
I got a tweet today, and it was one of my favorite tweets I've gotten a long time from someone.
Dean, it's your mom. Call me.
Just a tweet.
Here it is. Let me get it here. Somebody sent this in, and it was incredible because I had talked over and over and over about I played music 25 years, and people stole music, and it was over with. Okay? For me, on a small scale. Because now, if you just read, Metallica's manager said, the only way any acts make money right now is from touring. That's why you see Metallica on the road all fucking year, nonstop, you know?
Right.
So this guy sent this over to me, which my piece of shit phone is just...
Is it freezing up?
Freezing up. You gotta love that, right?
Did you retweet it? Maybe I can pull it up. You can tell the story and I can try to find the...
Okay, it's I got it right here, finally. It was that's the thing with these Apple phones. Like, if something happens, like somebody's calling you and you send them to voicemail, it just freezes up the fucking phone.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so here it is. The guy took this picture here. Let me see here. It was awesome. And it said, this is fucking stupid. Where is it? I was mentioned in the tweet, so it was, you know when you're in a photo, let's see here, someone, oh, I got it here, yeah. He basically said that, you know, you'll spend $5 a day on a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Which lasts about 6 minutes, and you throw the cup away and you're done. But you won't spend $5 on your favorite artist's record that lasts a lifetime and costs them hundreds of thousands to make.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing, it's like one of those photos with the fucking writing and a coffee cup and shit. And it really hit home because my thing with the streaming payment is there is a payment.
Yeah.
Okay, it could be super small, which it is. It's stupid. That's why I don't back Spotify because I saw the money and all that shit, and it's just horrible. They're getting no money. Like, a guy had, like, what, 400,000 downloads? He got $12.
Apple Music isn't much better.
Right. But the thing is, these people that are streaming aren't buyers.
But is anyone a buyer? Are we in this world of, I want it now, digital consume, this is the thing,
yeah,
whatever, whatever, whatever.
Taylor Swift, the only one that sold 1 million records in the last 8 months.
Because hers wasn't available for streaming.
Right. Can you imagine, if you look at the charts in 88, the top 20 are all million sellers, you know? All million sellers. So my point is, I don't know what to do to fix it. And I'm not that guy or whatever. But if I was playing in a band, I probably wouldn't make new records. And so if you're Iron Maiden, AC/DC, the top 100 records, you're just like, well, we got to get them on commercials. We got to get them on TV shows. We got to get them on, football arenas, basketball arenas. We got to get them on, there's all these marketing tools, you know?
Yeah.
So, and the new people... You do it strictly because you love it.
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be any money. I don't see any money coming. It's like comedy. I don't do comedy because there's money. When I started 5 years ago at 44, I didn't go, this is how I'm getting rich.
Cha-ching.
Yeah. I was like, well, this is what I want to do. And it's better than making money at a shitty job.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. I don't know what the... somewhere along the line, and we've had this argument for 15 fucking years when Lars Ulrich was battling Napster, and people were going, what a greedy fucking guy. No one now says he was right.
Yeah.
You know, look, you could get into it over and over and over, but why do you think bands make records? They don't make them to give them away.
Yeah.
they owe... You could say how rich a band is. Oh, Lars is so fucking rich. He still owed the record company $3-4 million for making records.
Yeah.
Like, exactly when we had someone on here and they said, well, we made our first album and we were $275,000 in debt. When we made the second record, that debt moved on to the second record. So now, before we've even started the second record, we're 275 in the hole. Our next record, we're 400. Now we're 675 in the hole. Now we're out on tour. We want to make a third record. Now we're 875 in the hole. People don't even hear any of that stuff. They're like, they're rich. They're on the tour bus. They got videos and they got BJs.
Yeah.
You know
well, they
man?
Probably have the BJ. So maybe
yeah,
they are
the
rich.
Yeah, rich and BJs.
It's hard because to some extent, I think that, you know, you said people aren't making these records to give them away for free. I have a friend who's an entrepreneur and has created some awesome companies and does amazing things. And I love talking to him because he'll sit down with me and some of my other friends, comics and other artists, and just say, like, look, you guys are great, but you have the business side of it all wrong. Yeah. Like, you're willing to give your stuff away. Yeah. You know, how many free shows do you do in LA?
Yeah.
And when you're starting, how far are you willing to drive for 30 minutes?
Exactly.
And when you're an up-and-coming band, you know, you don't see it as much anymore, but guys outside the Viper Room or Rainbow Lodge or whatever, just like, here, take, listen to my demo, listen to this, okay, listen to this. You just want to get your art out there. And it's like this weird thing. And I think it kind of exists in sports also, where people, all they want to do is play, but you don't see like the free NFL.
Yeah.
Where it's just a bunch of dudes like, I just want to play.
Yeah.
I'll be your quarterback, Carolina. So, I just want to play ball.
Let me get some sacks out there, man. Yeah. You know, I'm just jonesing to sack a fool, you know?
Yeah.
You're right. And it really comes down to, It's an interesting thing. If you're doing a show and a guy says, I'm going to give you $75 to come to San Diego.
Yeah.
And you go, well, you know, it cost me $75 to get there. The next guy's going to say yes.
Yeah.
The next 10 guys will say yes. So the promoter or the people putting on the show, they go, okay, cool. I'll just get these 9 dudes. There's no unity of all the community going, all right, here's the deal. We all tell everyone, fuck you. And then there's going to be like, guys go, oh, I'm not doing that.
So why doesn't that happen? I think I know the answer, but I pose a opposing question to you. Why don't you see that in accounting or whatever? It's like, hey, Dean, thanks for coming in. We got this great accounting job for you. We're going to pay you $85,000 a year. And you're like, you know what? Fuck that. And then, you know, Sam is over here like, I'll do it for $80,000.
Oh, well, that's...
Or do we see that? Is
no,
that
that's
outsourcing?
Totally and outsourced. My buddy just got, Steve, you know, he's making $130,000 at Disney. They lay him off. Disney lays off a zillion people 6 months ago. I don't know if you read this.
Yep.
And then outsourced and grabbed a shitload of people for $30,000. Then recently asked him if he wanted to come back and make $30,000. He's making that in unemployment. You know what I mean? Why would he go back and work and for $30,000 when he went to college? Penn State paid off his college. He drove Uber. He's driving Uber right now, so he could pay his college loans off to make $30,000,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so maybe it does happen in a global economy with accountants as well.
I think the whole point of this is just do something that makes you happy, and fuck, man, fuck money.
What
because
the
there's just no money.
I'm only happy if I make at least $175 a year.
That's hilarious, man. I've heard guys say some delusional shit, and you're like, really, dude? You know what I mean? Like, you're on TV. You know what I mean? Man, I mean, you know, $32,000 a week. It's fucking, these other guys getting $70,000. You just hear what he said, $32,000 a week. I haven't made that in 2 years. In 2 fucking years. So it's like, yeah, you get delusional. And I've been there. You get fucking, you're like, oh, man.
Right.
I remember I used to wouldn't sell motorcycles. I flip bikes all the time to try to make money. I used to look at right at the thing and go, I don't do anything unless I'm making at least $5,000. It's just a waste of time. Now, I'll flip shit all day long if there's just $500 to keep doing comedy.
Yeah.
This $500 keeps me doing comedy. Before it was like, well, what am I going to buy with $500? I can't buy a fucking, you know, sweet watch.
Yeah.
Can't buy pants with that. You know, it's like you get out of your mind.
I would love for people listening, if anyone's listening live, you can call in now. If not, maybe next week or whatever. Because I would love to hear people's stories of that where they themselves have gotten caught up in their own, what I would say, their own bullshit. And it certainly happened to me. I mean, there's a, I think in comedy or a lot of careers, you sit and look at things and, you know, I'm sitting here. I'm what's called friends and family at the Comedy Store, which is kind of a mid-tier. You're a paid regular, which is the highest tier, biggest honor they can give you. Name on the wall, it's awesome. And it's like, I sit here and look at other dudes, and not that they're not funny, but you just think like, why is that person that and I'm not? I'm just as funny. Or, you know, you get in your head like, why did, you know, comedian X get this Comedy Central show and I didn't even get a showcase where we did 10 shows together and I headlined them and they were my opener. And you get like in your head about like, I need, and then you, I step and look back. This is my own personal experience. And it's like when I was starting, if I could just do one show, at the Hollywood Improv on a weekend, that'd be it. Or I just want to perform for the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. And then you need to step back and look. I do at least 2 shows there a month, sometimes 6 or 7.
I know.
My name's on the fucking marquee. Yeah. Like, I did it.
You have to check yourself.
Yeah.
Because I talk to guys about it all the time. They go, man, I fucking went on at, you know, fucking 2 a.m. last night. And I said, yeah, man, but you went on. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, well, it's easy for you to say this. I say, hey, man, 3 years ago when I was on the patio, if they came out and said, Jeffrey Ross is late, you want to go on at 1:45? I would have texted all my friends. Guess who went on in the OR last night?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, 1:45, there's 3 people and it was rocking.
Yeah.
You have to keep that in your fucking mind at all times. Remember where you're at. You're not in Oklahoma. You're in the number one club in America. And you're in the mix.
Yeah.
And that is hard enough as it is. So if you forget that, just do yourself a favor and don't show up there for a while and watch how fucking fast you're forgotten.
And I think it applies to stuff out. That's why I would love for people to call in if they or, you know, tweet at us with their stories, because I think it happens in everyday field. I'm not saying entertainment is better or worse. Oh, it's what we know.
It absolutely doesn't work. It's the number one thing in corporate America. They're like, fucking Nancy. Yeah, she just blew the boss. That's why she's the VP now. I don't suck dick. Everybody always says sucking dick. I remember Burr had one of the best bits I ever saw. He was like, I'm so tired of people saying like, oh yeah, that guy got passed. He must have sucked such and such dick. And he's like, if there was a magic dick that you could suck to get past, everyone in here would suck that dick.
100%.
You know what I mean? Don't act like you wouldn't suck a dick. You know, instead of going, hey, good for him. He worked his ass off.
Yeah.
I know that guy. He fucking grinded it out and made it. Instead, it's some magic dick he sucked. It's always a dick a guy sucked. Or a girl. They're like, yeah, she sucked a dick and got past. Really? Well, what about her being here for 2 years straight and writing her own jokes and getting funny and having creepy dudes hit on her and fucking just, you know, no life? Yeah, what about that stuff? Yeah, but still.
You haven't met Fred then.
Fred.
It's his dick. All of those stories are about Fred. If you find Fred... Yeah. He roams. He's like a unicorn.
Yeah, he's like Yoda. Basically, you just blow him and poof, you just made it in Hollywood.
Yeah, or anywhere. Yeah. You have whatever you
whatever
want.
Whatever you want. You could own a Starbucks.
Yeah. But it's crazy to see people, and we all do it. My tweets are snarky sometimes, and we all, like I said, we all get down, and that's okay. Accept that. But then just, it's funny to see someone bitching and complaining as they've been sitting in their Prius or whatever, like this amazing technological marvel or whatever it is, right?
Not at a day job.
On their phone,
streaming
Netflix
as
they're watching House of Cards, listening to Blues Traveler
on
a motorcycle
in
the middle of Death Valley,
just
being like, everything sucks. Fuck you. Just shut the fuck. Everything is awesome.
Yeah.
You didn't need to know where your food was coming from.
I know.
I think, have I said this before? Maybe I have on the show. It bears repeating if I have.
Yeah.
It's crazy that as society, we have things to do We've created things to do, and I'm part of that business. We've created things to do to keep us entertained when we as people aren't doing the things we need to do to survive.
Yeah.
We've gotten so good at surviving,
yeah.
We need other shit to do to fill that time.
Yeah.
Like, no bird is like, oh, it's a rerun of Sign Bird today.
Yeah.
Fuck, it's like, I gotta find food, I gotta build a nest, I gotta figure out what to find, and I'm like, this sucks. No
snake
football.
Snake just tried to eat me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dinosaurs are everywhere. They're like, man, fucking Lakers made the bad choice on the fucking draw.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Here's another great thing, and I've been lucky, real lucky. This is a great thing about comedy, which is a little different than music. When you're playing music, I said this over and over and over. You're not rubbing shoulders with AC/DC and Van Halen and White Stripes or whatever. They're not in the same room with you. But when you're doing comedy, all levels are in the same fucking groups in LA, you know? You're going to be standing next to a Louis C.K. or a Bill Burr or Marin. And there's going to be a first-timer to the left of you. There's going to be an open micer. There's going to be a newer comic like me. And there's going to be fucking Chris Rock. And my point is, if you sit and listen to these conversations these guys have in the hall, you'll learn a lot of stuff. And I think that's how you can avoid pitfalls. And one of the big things I learned from Burr, and he goes, all right, I know you didn't get an audition for Just for Laughs. And whatever, who cares about that? But don't be one of these guys later when they come around and go, hey, so we want you to come to Just for Laughs. Don't be this guy. Fuck you. Fucking, I'm beyond you. Where were you last year? You know, like,
yeah.
Don't be the guy that's fuck you once they open the door, because it's a business. And when your turn comes, don't try to carry all that old, oh, I remember when you made me do a bringer show. You can eat a fucking dick, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just part of the process, man.
Yeah.
It's part of the process. If you got everything your first 6 months, you would lose interest, you would be shitty, and you wouldn't care, you know?
I think, yeah, it's just realize what it is, and for whatever reason, you weren't picked for something or whatever. But then when they do pick you, take it and use them just as much as they're using you.
That's what I said.
It's like, oh, we want to get this guy because Dean now has heat.
He's
on tour with Marin. He was on WTF. He does this great Let There Be Talk podcast. We could use him. I'll put his name on the marquee. We're going to get views. His clip on ComedyCentral.com is going to get millions of views.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Great. They're using you for that to sell ads, whatever they're selling. And you, at the same time, take that. Say thank you and use that shit and that exposure
make
to go do what
shows.
You want to do.
That's it, man. You make your own ideas and stuff, why they love you. And you go, all right, well, here's the deal. I got this idea, and it's these four guys, and this is who I'm using.
Right.
And they go, all right, man, we love you. We've always loved you.
It's going to be a show on FX, and the first season is going to be one 14-part episode, Eat a Dick.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I just came up with this new show where I'm a guy who becomes the great deadhead at the last show. So they no longer are touring now, and I'm like going around America trying to be like, man, this is where the Dead played in 72, right? And people are like, what is this guy? Dead's long over.
Legit,
man.
Dean.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this here
so
it's on record too. That's a great fucking idea. We talked about that off podcast earlier.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, and someone's going to make it. And just know that you have this recorded so you can go get your motherfucking money.
Time
it's either
stamped.
A movie starring Ed Helms or someone like that.
It's starring me.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
if you make it, it is. But that is a great that is a great, great idea for like a road trip, buddy comedy, going across.
They start, they're adults. They start taking acid at 49. They're wearing tie-dye. It's an awesome comedy of these. It's like Wild Hogs, but it's acid and Grateful Dead.
Meets old school, meets road trip.
It's called Green Deans. No, but I named it. It's Metal Deadhead. There it is, Metal Deadhead. Because he was a metal guy, and then all of a sudden he just becomes this, deadhead.
I see it in the Hollywood ending. You probably have an original ending that's maybe a little darker.
Yeah.
But the Hollywood ending that they hire me to rewrite it for you, and then I try to change character names so I can get WGA credit on it written by, not just story by. The Hollywood ending is that these then four group of friends end up becoming the next big jam band.
Yeah.
Because they're like, this is where they played. And then they pick up instruments and they're, you know, keeping each other interested. Yeah. I'm banging on the table. They keep each other interested in the car and they create the next big sound. And then there are metal deadhead heads.
Yeah, yeah. Heads. Metal deadhead heads. good thing they're not dead metal heads. Well, then they just die on the first hour of the film.
There are way too many of those already.
Fuck, man. I'm telling you.
It's a great idea.
What's going on? You going to Comic-Con?
I'm not. I am not Comic-Conning this year, which I am actually excited about.
It's gotten a little too crazy.
I mean, I'll go when a studio's paying me to go as just a general fan.
Right.
I'm fortunate enough that I've been tons and I, you know, whatever. Don't need to go. I just don't have the time this year. Thursday is improv versus stand-up. At UCB. Oh, the big thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
If we have a little bit of time, then we can say kind of what's coming up show-wise for us. I started CrossFit today.
Whoa, you did?
Mm-hmm. So I know there's different...
What is CrossFit now? It's different activities all in one workout?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of taking... And from a guy who's new at it, I have friends that actually coach and teach it, and... I know some people are screaming in at their iPhone or whatever, their Android, like, it's dumb, you gotta do heavy lifting, do weights.
Yeah.
I get it. There's tons of different philosophies on working out. CrossFit strikes a chord with me because I'm a former athlete. It's based on teamwork and camaraderie, and for me, that's what works about it.
It's kind of like Grateful Dead music then, right? It's like...
we all get on acid.
Hey, I got a new thing, just a dead fit.
Well, that's going to be me tomorrow.
Take mushrooms and you do yoga and fucking, you know, with your buddy, and sometimes you fuck.
You think you're doing yoga, and then someone just walks by and it's just an orgy.
Yeah, exactly.
Great workout.
There's
bro.
An old wood hot tub with people wearing Varney sunglasses and those OP shorts.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
But it's you know, a lot about different unique movements, kind of shocking your muscles. Heavy weight, low rep, also mixed with body weight, and non-conventional lifts. It's not, now they have CrossFit Games where they're trying to, you know, unify this type of workout, but it's not bench press and whatever.
Right,
and
boring shit.
Traditional work. Yeah, it's supposed to be fun, and it's not a lot of rest. It's active the whole time.
Is there music?
They'll be playing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it like a yoga spin, all that mix?
No, it's not set to music, so you can do it to whatever you want. Typically, it'll be something upbeat and peppy, just trying to keep the energy going. But it's a lot of teamwork, a lot of camaraderie. You know, pushing each other to push yourselves. People have died doing it because they say it pushes you too hard. But like, the reason I bring it up is I feel my body. Contracting as we sit here, right?
Yeah.
They say soreness is weakness leaving the body. I'm pretty sure my entire body is weakness.
Oh,
it's
I
just
can
like
imagine.
Going. And I know you're a hiker.
Yeah,
have you ever
fallen apart from hiking though?
That's what I say. What's your? Yeah. Have you bought into any of this? Like CrossFit's relatively relatively new. Do you buy into any of this fitness bullshit? Like the Zumba or whatever? I'm kind of an old school dude.
I love it all. I wish that I could. Here's the stupid. I hike because I get up in the morning. I answer emails and then boom, out the fucking door, up my hill. And it does numerous things for my mind. It releases me from like, oh man, last night was brutal.
Yeah.
I can hike, and I hike where there's no people. I don't need to go to Runyon and be at some fucking day club. Hey, you go on today? Hey, you going on tonight? Hey, good set last night. You know, I don't need that. I need spiritual, and as fucking funny as it is, like being born and raised in Yosemite, I feel that that's
sure.
why I go back to that. And I didn't realize that until like 10 years ago or when I started going back to Yosemite, like, whoa, I need this. So it's part of that. I go and get up to the top of the hill. There's a wood bench somebody bought and put up there, and it looks over the lake. I listen to my set and I just chill. And then I come down, it takes exactly 1 hour and I'm done for the day. You know, most people say if you just exercise for 30 minutes a day, you won't fucking die. And people still don't do that. Now, I haven't exercised in a week because my fucking week has been insane.
Yeah.
But when I do, my knees are starting to get sore lately, which is like scary, you know? People get knee replacements and shit. And I'm not even doing high impact. I'm doing fast walking because they say that cardio ages you.
Huh.
That's what they say, like too much cardio. These guys, they just go and they do an hour of cardio every day, and your face starts getting Skeletor and You know, I don't know. Every week it's something different. This kills you. Yeah. You shouldn't be doing this. To eventually you just go like, well, fuck it. I'll just sit here and die.
The only thing that for sure kills you is being born.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny how people are like, well, we just did some studies and, you know, yoga's bad for you. Now they're saying yoga's bad for you. I'm like, how is yoga bad for you?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if those are plants by the next people. Like CrossFit's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put some fucking shit out there saying everything else kills you.
Right.
So I'm down for anything. To me, it just comes down to whatever you can do on your own and make sure you can do it. Like, to me, it's too much work to go to a gym because I'm on a motorcycle. I got to bring gym clothes and shit. And then, you know, I'm all sweaty riding the bike back, all cold and funky. This works for me. I hike an hour, and then I come home, I do 30 push-ups, 30 sit-ups, and then a shower, you know?
Yeah.
And I've learned some other exercises recently. But I want to get even in better shape. I'm trying to completely quit candy. It's impossible.
I have a sugar addiction as well.
Yeah, me too.
It's really tough.
If I quit that, I would be so much healthier.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't eat fast food.
They need a sugar patch. You know, they have like nicotine patches.
They really do.
Just like a little bit to just like ease me away from whatever I'm eating of the day.
It's for that would be genius, right?
So we've written a great screenplay or TV show. Yeah. We've developed the sugar patch. What else? What other, can we just colonize Mars? What else are we doing on this show today?
Fuck yeah. and then we're going to bring back the Walkman.
Okay, I'm on board. I'm glad I kept all my tapes.
Yeah.
And then I get rid of those like you were telling me to 10 years ago. Now it's get rid of my CDs, Dean.
I sold my
cassettes. Not gonna happen.
I'm glad I did, man. Because that fad's already fading now, man.
Yeah.
Cassettes. What was that movie where they're in space and he has the Walkman?
Oh, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, so cassettes and Walkmans are hot for about 3 months. Sell the cassettes. Got rid of those. But that's... You know, I don't know. So do you like the CrossFit? Where do you do it? Do you
So far, I'm out in South Pasadena, Eagle Rock area. Yeah, pay to do it. It's not much. Like, it seems expensive, but when for me, when I looked at other types of that type of, it's not one-on-one personal training, but it's small classes. I think mine is like 6 people right now. I think they go up to 8.
Any hot chicks?
My wife's not in the class, so no.
Oh, yeah, this fucking guy. Recently was saying that whoever invented yoga pants, give him the Nobel Peace Prize. It's so fucking peaceful when women are in yoga pants. Like, if there was 2 world leaders fighting, you just bring 2 women in yoga pants in, and then they just go, it's all good,
It's all good.
We got a call. Wow, we got a call. Hey, man, you there? Oh, we lost the call.
Well, son of a bitch. So far I do. I enjoy it.
That's dope.
And so, it's expensive, but not as expensive as like
death.
Or a gym membership. And then personal training on top of that. I've never been a fan, maybe it's my own comfort level, of like the training groups that are using like a public park.
Oh,
I always think that's weird. It's like, get out of the fucking park. My daughter's playing here.
So dumb.
It's like, go to a gym. So it's really not tons.
I go yoga on YouTube. There's a woman, beginner's yoga.
Okay, what's the website?
No, it's just on YouTube, like beginner yoga. She's got like 4 billion hits.
Sure, yeah.
So I'm only on the first level right now, and I'm just like, this is fucking impossible.
Yeah.
There's these things she's got you doing, like where you're trying to hold your whole body weight up by a triangle. You know? And I tell you what, though, I'm going through her yoga training on there, and I do it at my house in the morning. Yeah. I say, as long as I'm not working a day job, if I don't work out each day, I'm a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the key thing of not working out is, I get it. You get up at 6, you shower, you go to work all fucking day. You come home, you're stressed and tired. You just want to watch your favorite show and sack out. Who the fuck's going to work out?
Yeah.
What for, too? You're married. You're not thinking like, I need to look good. You're like, you know, early on, you only work out because you fucking want to look good to meet a chick, and then you just go, nah, I can be shitty. You know what I mean? So you never think in death. It's funny, you know?
I think you do feel better, though. I'm a big advocate of, like...
Oh, I do.
I mean, I used to work that attorney job. You go there all day, and there were some days I didn't come home, right? Went in at 7 a.m. and didn't come home until the next day at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
But carving out that little bit of time and getting those endorphins or whatever it is, it really will, for me at least, and I will preach this, it makes everything better.
Yeah.
And it makes food taste better. It makes sleep better. It makes...
Oh, you sleep way better.
Everything better.
Yeah.
And so my key to it is, and I think what CrossFit maybe was too far, is that I'm still a competitive person. I was a very, 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 very good collegiate athlete.
Right.
And so I still have that, like, I used to call it outer
loop
heroes.
Did you wear a cup ever? You ever wear a cup?
When I played baseball, I ran track. You didn't run track.
Jock strap?
In a cup. Yeah, jock strap. Yeah, most of the time, running shorts would be enough support for what I was doing.
Right.
But I'm so competitive. And I used to call the guys at college. There was this loop that ran around campus. And you'd always see the old dudes that would try to keep up with us.
Yeah.
And so I'd call them outer loop heroes.
Yeah.
And I'm that guy now because I'm in my first CrossFit class. There's like veterans. They say scale the workout to you. But it's like, okay, a lot of stuff is four times. We're going to do these circuits and we're going to see how fast we can do it.
Yeah.
And I see like, you know, Sue over there just crank. I'm like, fuck, I could do it too. And it's like, no, I can't.
Yeah.
Just know that I'm 34.
Yep.
Accept what I'm doing. And ease into it. I'm forgetting my own rule about working out, which is only work out hard enough so that you can work out again the next day.
Yeah, yeah, you don't want to get all fucking beat up.
Because then you'll never do it again. You're like, that sucks. You'll dread going.
Yeah.
You'll quit going to the gym. You'll quit running. So it's just whatever you're doing, if you're listening to this, on the video game podcast I do, DLC, my co-host Jeff always calls people geeks and sneaks because it's video games. Whatever you're doing, just do enough so you'll do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're running a 5-minute mile or whatever your goal is.
Yeah, it really is true because I do this hike now.
Yeah.
Like it is nothing.
Right.
But when I first started doing it, I'd get up to the first hill because it's 3 hills and then the rest is downhill.
Okay.
But the first hill, I'd be like, fuck.
You were going to put a bench right there.
I would just stop at the front of this house that they've been building for like 2 years and they'd just look at me like, look at that fucking dude.
Yeah.
But my favorite, and I don't do this enough, is those indoor rock.
Sure.
I love that shit. I like stuff that's fun.
Yeah.
You know, like that indoor rock climbing is so badass. I used to do it in Vegas when they had it in the arcade next to the Tropicana. They had a 4-story arcade. And in the middle, they had one of those rock things, man. And I used to go there like once a year and... Man, your fucking hands, your feet, your shoulders.
Core, everything. Yeah.
Me, Ari Manis, and Lucas Hurl are about to go hike Half Dome.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And
Lucas is going to carry you? I guess you hike. Lucas is in good shape. I don't know about you or Ari.
Ari skateboarded from Oregon to New York City.
That's right. He'll be fine.
3 years ago, he skateboarded from Oregon to New York. In 34 days.
Yeah, that's incredible.
What the fuck?
And wait, you're not saying he got on a plane and skateboarded up and down the plane as a plane flew
from
Oregon to New York?
What the fuck?
Yeah,
you got to see the footage. Freeways. This is incredible,
man. I forgot about that. That's incredible.
So the three of us are going to go film it.
Awesome.
And yesterday I just read they had a piece of Half Dome slid off. First time in like 500 years. Just
is it now quarter dome?
Yeah, right. I just got an email on it. I want to look at the footage, but we're going to go up there, hike that, which is the cables.
Yeah.
You go up the side
on
cables. And I cannot wait to do it. It's going to be, it's 8 hours, but it's going to be epic. And we'll be on the top of the Half Dome and just looking down on the valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I'm slowly becoming a hippie.
Yeah, you got your dead shirt on.
It's so weird. I'm just like hippie. And like, it's weird. Yeah, I'd be on stage just saying the meanest shit, get off and be like, peace, man.
Just love each other.
Hey, man, let's all love each other except for you fuckers.
You, yeah, except for these 10 people I'm going to rant about here.
What do you got coming up this week?
Improv versus stand-up is Thursday here in LA, Thursday, July 9th, if you are listening to this in time and able to go. And then July 28th is a big show, an evening with me, Christian Spicer, at Nerdmelt. And an evening with me, there's no better way than spending it with some of my best friends and favorite people. So it's me, you, Mr. Del Rey, Brenton Biddlecombe, Kyle Kinane, and then Jeff Cannata and Anthony Carboni doing a live We Have Concerns. It's going to be an awesome, I'm so looking forward. It's July 28th. And then you, Red Band, and I were going to
say, yeah, that this July month? 30th.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So Death Squad, Del Razors, July 30th. Get tickets now, man. They're selling San Jose Improv, one night only. Also, I start the Marin Tour this week. So
yeah,
if you're out and about in America, we're coming around Marin Nation Tour, Mark Marin and I. I cannot wait for this. This weekend we'll be in Portland. Also, if you're listening to this live tonight, I'll be judging the Roast Battle. Brian Moses' famous Roast Battle show happens every Tuesday in the Comedy Store, 10:30 p.m. And if you're listening to this, Jeremiah Watkins' movie came out today on iTunes.
I lived,
and it's $5 on iTunes. They had the premiere last night at the Comedy Store. It was so much fun. And I didn't live in the movie. They cut me out.
Aww.
So I got cut out of I Live. So fuck you. No, I don't mind. It was great working doing the movie, and I got the clip for
reel. Can I ask our audience a question?
Yeah.
So Del Razor's Green Deans, Marin Nation.
Yep.
I need a real one. You say Spicy Town.
Yeah.
But if someone out there has a good hashtag or name, when it was younger, it was Spice Rack.
Yeah.
Which I feel like works better for a
That's
girl.
That's kind of a chick one.
Yeah, it's like I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is. I'm open to any and all suggestions. I won't necessarily use it. Maybe there isn't one. You don't need one,
yeah,
but it'd be fun if it's like the Green Deans and Sissy Chrissies. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. How about Spice City?
Okay.
Yeah. Spice City. You know what I mean? So it's S-P-I-C-I-T-Y. Spicity.
Spicity?
Yeah.
That sounds like uppity.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a little spicity today.
It's different than town. Spicy town. Now you've got a city.
Okay.
Spicity.
Upgrade. I want Spice World then. Oh, they already made a movie, Spice World.
Spice, baby. Spice, baby. Boom, boom, boom.
Welcome to day 4 of bitching. Dean is still listing nicknames for Chris.
Spice, baby. God, that's funny. What do you got? What do you think for Spice, Aaron?
Well, you don't want Old Spice.
Oh, I actually like that.
I'll age into that one.
No, not old. It's old, like Old Dirty Bastard. Old Spice. That's dope. Hey, I like that. I would actually make the shirt where it's the bottle.
Yeah.
And then instead of, it's exact the cologne, and instead of the ship, it's like your face, Old Spice.
I just need a different name. I mean, it's like the J. Moores, Moriers.
Yeah, Moriers.
I feel like I got to change my name to something that's like even better. Like, that's one of the best. Marin Nation's pretty great. Del Razor's really high up there.
Yeah.
Moriers?
Yeah.
Fucking incredible.
Moriers!
So good.
Oh, man, I like the Green Deans.
You gotta eat your Green Deans.
I didn't listen to the episode last week, but how did the Green Deans come up? I forgot, because it was like a week old, but people started hashtagging it.
Yeah, you just said it. I don't remember.
The Green Deans. There was something about it, though, and then we must have talked about big cocks, because I got a lot of tweets on guys. I guess the guy with the biggest cock, which I didn't think was the biggest, was on Howard Stern. A guy tweeted at me. And it was 13.5 inches. And he said what my buddy used to say, you know, all girls hated it.
Yeah.
Just like, this sucks. Oh, one last thing before we go. I want to give a shout out to Del Razor Green Dean that donated to the podcast. Can't thank this guy enough. He donated, and he's going to come hang out while I record an episode. So that's
awesome.
That's pretty dope. And Matt, Mike Dillard. Mike Dillard is, he works in Hollywood, digital post service. He is awesome, big fan of the podcast, and he donated some money, so thank you. And we got a new sponsor, it looks like. I'm not going to say who they are yet, but we might have some new sheets for our bed. So, hey, see me this weekend, Portland. See Spicer and see I Lived. And follow us. I'm at Dean Del Rey on Twitter. Spicer's at Spicy.
At Spicer.
Oh, yeah. At Spicer.
At Spicer.
And thanks for all your great reviews. Keep them on iTunes. Keep those reviews going, man. And I love all you guys. Light the candles. See ya.
One of these days, someone's gonna blow out all those candles you've lit.
Oh yeah.
I need to listen. As we're, I was like, I said something, and I was like, that's a funny prank.